Welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. I'm Tom, and I'm with my buddy Dan. What's up, Dan?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well, now that I got the name of the show right. Screwed that up. But you all didn't hear that because we edited that out. So, Dan, how's the East Coast today?
East Coast is freezing. It's like 8 degrees out, which is not cool by my standards. But other than that, good stuff. Places we're working are warm and schedule's stacked full. So life is good.
There you go. I love it, man. That's cool. I don't love the cold for you, but I love hearing that the schedule is full. That's always a good thing.
It keeps you warm so, inside. Guys, that's all that matters.
That's right. I'm excited to have our conversation today with someone that I think is going to open the eyes of some of the listeners. It might be set in their ways with some things. And I know that she set some other people straight recently in one of our groups, and with some very strong and true opinions and facts. I don't want to wreck it here, but Lindsay, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
How you doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. You ready to shoot the shit here today for a while?
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Once my nerves slow down, you know?
Oh, there's only tens of thousands of people listening to this right now.
Yeah, so. And Tom and I do all the making of all the mistakes on this show. You have nothing to worry about.
Perfect.
You're good. Well, listen, before we get into it, who are you? What do you do? Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so my name's Lindsay. My husband and I have it's just an exterior staining company out of Texas. So mm-hmm. We do that together. And then also I am the CXO in the CSA group.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, that's the Contractor Sales Academy and Chief Experience Officer. And I have to say that since we brought you on, was it last summer?
It was right after Mother's Day. I think it's May. Yeah.
Like holy cow. That long already?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you've absolutely crushed it in that role. Like I'm blown away. Like you send us a Friday recap, you know, every week. Is today Friday? Are we getting one of those today?
Yeah, you're getting one today.
Oh, good. How long does it take you to do the recap? Like 8 hours?
Yeah. So I used to do it start to finish on Friday. It took me probably a good 2 hours, if not a little more. I've started spreading it out over the week now. So probably still about 2 hours or so, just spread out better now.
Yeah. And you know, it's stuff like, hey, on this call, we had X amount of people and these are the topics that were covered and blah, blah, blah. It's like a recap of the call. But then the part that I really like, and we have several calls a week and stuff. And then the part I really like is you're like, hey, so-and-so, you know, I touched base with so-and-so because I hadn't seen him around for a while on some things and reached out and he's really struggling with this and he could use a tap on the shoulder or somebody to reach out to him. And Lindsay sends these to myself and my partners and our coaches. And then it's cool. We'll reply and guys will be like, oh, I'll call him. I'll reach out to him and this and that, because we want to make sure that everybody has the support that they need. And that's really been a game changer, Lindsay. So I don't think I've shot replies back going, wow, this is kick ass. You're amazing. But I don't think I've ever personally told you how much I appreciate it, because I just think it sends a message of how much we care as a organization and how much you care about the people you're helping and how seriously you take your role. I love it. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a good fit. I love being able to come in and connect with so many different people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about that and some other things here today, connecting with people. Before we do that though, Dan, it's our little for the win segment here, man.
Favorite part.
This one's going to blow your mind.
All right, I'm ready.
What do we do at this point? Do I go for the win? And there's like a big echo on my voice or something. Is that what we do? I don't know.
Anyway. I think it's been different every time we've done it. So we'll find the common theme eventually.
Yeah. See guys, sometimes you just got to go do your thing and you'll aim along the way. So
yeah,
I got this from a guy named Joseph who happens to be, I believe, in the fencing industry. Check this out. I've been listening to the Contractor Fight for about a year now. No, and he, by the way, Lindsay, he reached out to me last night. He's one of the guys that wanted to join the CSA. So he says, I have been listening to the fight for about a year now. Got so much value from you. First and foremost, thank you. You've helped my business. Here it is. Go from $250,000 a year to $750,000 a year with all the tips that you've helped me with. Like, you know, he goes on and then he's inquiring about our Contractor Sales Academy. And he's like, man, I got to get better as a salesperson now. So first of all, talk about a fucking winner, right? Somebody who, and back to what we talk about here all the time, guys, the mission of the fight is to bring respect and dignity back to the trades. We are proud of the fact that we can fulfill our mission, even if somebody doesn't hire us. Okay. And I want people to hire us. I'm a business owner. Who the fuck doesn't want customers, right? But I'm just proud that people can get help here, implement shit on their own. And then when they're ready to move faster, then they could reach out. But we've been able to help these guys get these, get some wins. And kudos to this dude, Joseph, because he did, Dan, what I think a lot of people don't do is they consume, but apparently he implemented something.
Yep.
Right.
It's funny. The guy I just was just on the phone with before we jumped on this podcast, said the same thing. You know, for the last year, he's been, he thanked us for all the free content. He's been implementing it. He's kind of gotten it roughed in to where he's got some holes in his game that he can't quite plug himself. And now he's looking for the 100K and the CSA to just kind of plug the gaps that he couldn't do himself. So it's, it is great to see these guys self-motivated and doing it. And then of course we love it when they come into our programs to do the final nail.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just shows me that they're a self-starter, right? They're people that are, they're going to be successful because they implement shit, they consume, but they implement. And the way I always say it is, listen, if you want to move faster, if you want to avoid certain mistakes and things like that, then join one of the programs, you know, and we're here when you're ready. And if you ain't ready, that's fine too, because we're happy to help. So anyway, kudos to Joseph there, growing by $500,000 in a little less than a year, top line revenue. you know, just by putting into practice some of the things he's picked up here. So anyway, that's cool shit. All right. So Lindsay, here we are. We're back.
All right.
You had shared a little bit about what's going on in the CSA. Before we get into the main juice of today, I wanted to just get your take. See, she has, Dan, no idea what we're going to ask her. And neither do I, because I don't have notes for this. I just have a blank piece of paper in front of me. but I'm curious, what do you see in the people that have massive success in the CSA versus those who don't have massive success in the Sales Academy from your vantage point?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I think there'd be two things. The first thing is just implementation, like you said. You know, they come in and they're ready to get started. They come in almost, you know, unafraid. They're okay. My guard's down. I'm ready to learn something new. I'm ready to try new things because what I've been doing so far hasn't gotten me to where I want to be. So they come in, they're open, and they jump in. Mm-hmm. And then jumping in, they're open to the suggestions of, you know, hey, try this. Let's do this. Try this word track. Try this tactic, whatever it may be, you know. The other thing I see, those that are succeeding, it's building a confidence on them. And so as they get more confident, that's just going to grow them even more because now they got bigger balls. So like, yep, I can do this. This worked. I'm going to do it again, but this time I'm going to add a little bit more to it.
Mm. I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, I tell you, this is the hardest thing. I mean, like, if I were going to be I'm not a golfer, but if I were a golfer, I would hire a golf coach, right? And I got to be open to changing my grip. I got to be open to putting my feet a certain way that might be uncomfortable. I need to be committed to going to the driving range and working on the areas of my game that suck. Maybe I'm on the putting green for 8 hours one day. Maybe I'm working with my pitching wedge and I'm putting the driver away for a while because I got to get my game up to speed. And that's kind of how I look at this is, and I struggle with this. Lindsay, you and I were talking about this before Dan got on, and Dan, I just said that the way we teach sales for those who implement it and master it, it changes their life.
Absolutely.
But it's not a sexy, it's not sexy. It's not like, hey, come on here and it's easy. You know, like, and I struggle with that. Just the marketing side of me is like, man, you got to tell people it's easy. But then I'm like, no, we got to tell people the truth. Like it's going to take effort. It's going to take you role-playing and getting uncomfortable and putting things on your calendar that are a priority for you to grow as a salesperson. And I think just that fact that we're really honest in our marketing probably slows our growth down because people don't want to hear that.
Well, look at the three things Lindsay just mentioned. Like first, you have to acknowledge that you suck at something, you know, or have a fault or need room to improve. And that's hard enough for people to do. So that's the first step, just to any coaching, whether it's CSA or not. Then you have to implement it, and which is another step, which is taking action. But the confidence, the mindset is where I would characterize that. The confidence is like the result of it. But then you have to unfuck your head. To like just get around all your limiting beliefs and make this put all these pieces together. And the guys that really succeed are the ones that put all those three pieces in all of the programs, you know, but certainly in the sales game, because that's just, you want to present a price and don't want your voice to crack like you're a teenager. It's like you have to be confident and you have to believe in it.
Yeah, I did a post last night that I know you guys both saw in one of our free groups. And I was like, I think I started with, I don't know what to say next. And I said, that's what I hear from guys all the time, right? Like in a sale, and I've been there and we've all been there. Like you're in the sales situation in the moment and you don't know what to say. Sometimes you feel backed into a corner and you just don't know where to go. And I did that post last time. Like, guys, if you're tired of not knowing what to say, DM me. Or one of us, and I tagged a bunch of people in our coaches, and like within minutes, I had 6, 7, 8, you know, guys DMing me because that's a huge amount of pain for us as salespeople. We don't know where to go.
Yeah, it's the most isolating feeling. Like I remember it back in the day where you sit there and they get asked a question by a customer, and you feel like you're just have a spotlight shine on you. You just want to like slink into the bushes and disappear. You know, it's like because you don't have the response, but now, like Tom, you know me, I don't prepare for sales calls or anything. I just jump in and just go where it goes because I don't know where the hell's going to go, but I have no confidence, no fear of what is going to be thrown at me and having a response. And that just makes it so much more pleasurable.
Well, that's because you've practiced your ass off and it's become,
that's true.
You know, it's, you're at that top level of learning a new skill, right? Which is unconscious competence. Where you just, it's second nature now. It's like, the example I've always used is like, you see a concert, you guys, right? And there's the lead guitarist, and he's shredding a solo. And at the same time, he's talking to the sound guy, you know, because he's so in the moment of the skill. He's a master of the skill. And so, Lindsay, what's your take on any of that?
Yeah, I think it's almost like a double-edged sword because you're a little bit embarrassed because you don't know what to say. You don't know where to go with the call. You kind of got back into a wall, to a corner, and you're kind of feel stuck. The same point, you're too embarrassed to ask for the help. You're too embarrassed to tell anybody, hey, I'm not good at this, because you don't really want that outside perception of, hey, I suck at something in my business. Most of us, you know, we want to make it, hey, I'm successful. Hey, I'm doing this. So coming out and saying, I need help with something to better myself isn't that popular of a choice.
Yeah. And then you add in the fact that they ask you, how does this work? And then you mentioned role playing and it's just like immediately like, oh, we got to dress up like fucking Harry Potter or something. It's like, no, it's like we're going to practice sales. But I remember, Tom, the first time we had a role play. It was right before I hired you as a coach. Yep. I met in Colorado, if you remember, and wandered down to the bar and we sat there and you're like, oh, let's role play. And I was like, this is the lamest thing ever. And then we started screwing around with it. And I was like, it's actually pretty cool. And it works. Yeah. But you factor, it's like admitting guilt and then role-playing to your average contractor dude. And it's just like what's the third strike to make this never happen? You know? So the guys that actually make that step tend to be a higher caliber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they want it more. They're down, you know, I've tried everything else down. So I'm ready.
it's a good qualifier, you know, just like how broken down can we get you before we fix you.
Okay, I had to mute. I've been muting back and forth because my dogs are losing their shit upstairs. So I screamed, and then he finally shut up. One of them did.
I saw your mouth moving, but no sound. You're like, what's going on? What time? You have a seizure? What's happening?
So, all right. So we're talking about this sales thing and sales training and getting good. So let's get into the meat of this, Lindsay. You're really here. Dan was like, hey, I think we need to bring Lindsay on and talk about at least a little bit about selling to women. Mm-hmm. Where do most contractors, which just by the numbers, right, are mostly guys, right? It just is what it is. Where do most of us go wrong? Let's just start with that. Like right out of the gate, you're a homeowner, or you know, you're the representative of a company that is getting bids for something, and you're a female. What, you know what I'm saying? Like where do most, let's just stick residential for now, because it is what it is. You know, where do most of us guys go wrong selling to a female?
I think not listening. They come in with their, exactly. Yeah. You almost got me.
Yeah.
But they come in with their own agenda and their own timeline. I want to get on the phone. What do you need? Okay, sounds good. I can do X, Y, or Z. But what you want to do for me may not be what I want for my home, but you're not taking the time to even let me explain that to you. You know, you're pick up the phone. What do I got? All right. I hear a little bit of your problem. I think I have a solution and it's not what I'm wanting.
So you had what we originally got me interested in getting you on was, my wife was listening to a fight night in November that we were doing, and she just kept walking through the room and throwing me the stink eye every once in a while. And she was just like, how do women appeal, you know, deal with your guys' attitude? And, you know, I suppose women, she's like, she's a big super feminist. So like mansplaining will get my head chopped off in a second in my household. And, but you did, it must've been, in the CSA where you're talking about getting your gate fixed and your experience about having these guys come out and try and tell you what to do for your opening your gate or something like that. And can you quickly summarize that? Cause I think that perfectly illustrates the feeling that you want to avoid when you're dealing with a female customer.
Yeah. So we had the gate's now fixed. So just going to throw that out there. But we have like a drive-through gate to get from our driveway to the back of our house to park in the garage and whatnot. And the control panel broke, it fried or something. So we were looking, I was calling around to see what it would take to get it fixed, but I wanted to keep the original arm and just kind of replace the components, maybe upgrade them. So I wanted like Wi-Fi so I could open and close it from my couch. I wanted to be able to see if it was open. I just wanted something other than like an open and close button from when I have to drive through it. So I called company, had them come out, and I wanted to use the original arm because it was all metal. It was like iron cast. It was, nothing was plastic on this thing. So we kept that. So the company scheduled out a time. I needed to be there, had like a 2-hour range for them to come on site. The guy calls me when he gets there. I'm like, all right, I'm coming out. Got to secure the dog. He barely even looks up at me to talk to me. He's just looking at the gate. He's like, I think he's about to walk off when I walked up there. He'd been there about 5 minutes. And then he just said, yep, we can get this replaced. And then kind of rattled out a price. I was like, okay. I was like, well, can we use, you know, I had to then sit there and explain everything that I wanted, because he never took the time to ask me what I was wanting. Asked about the used arm. He looked at that, he's like, no, I don't think so. We'll just need to upgrade it. I'm like, okay. He's like, well, so if you're upgrading it, does it have these features? No, you want those features? Yes. If we're upgrading, I want those features. Okay, well, I'll have to look into that. Okay. And he's like, all right, I'll send you something. And like walked out. I'm like, A, why did I schedule to like be home for this? Because that's annoying. B, you just made an assumption of everything that I wanted. If I'm going to be paying you money to fix this, then it needs to be fixed to my standards, to what I'm wanting. That's kind of the gist of that one.
Yeah, that probably just made. Yeah, because they're not helping you at that point.
Yeah, there's no pull for me to go with him, and I did not go with him. But there was absolutely no I did not feel heard. Pissed me off. Felt like a waste of time.
Any thoughts on that, Tom?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts on that. I'm just thinking back to, you know, every bit of that scenario could have been better for you, Lindsay, like this. Like, if nothing else, how about when you walked outside, maybe before then you got a text or a phone call like, hey, I'm a couple minutes away, mm-hmm. right? Let's start with that. And then I look forward to meeting you. Let's have some decent common respect and courtesy. And then when you came out, how about a smile and a greeting?
Yeah, look, you know, just
my name's, you step at me. Yeah. My name's Tom. Are you Lindsay? Hey, I really appreciate you, you know, giving us a call and then, you know, considering us for whatever you want to do here. So before it, and guys, I've even said this, like, and it could be a male or female. I don't care who I'm saying this. This is just general sales, right? You know, hey, Lindsay, I don't want to make any assumptions here. So how are you hoping I can help you today? Mm-hmm. And shut my fucking mouth. And then you would have said, hey, here's the thing. This is what I'm really after. I'd like to use this. These are some things that are important to me. And then Dan, I could tap you in because, you know, here you would just start going, well, tell me more about that. And what, well, how would you plan on using it? What, now you said from the couch, you want to do something from the couch. What do you want to be doing from the couch? Like, yeah, guys,
that.
Yeah. Lindsay, you nailed it. You summed it up. You said, I just didn't feel heard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let's call it what it is. Probably, I mean, our divorce rate in the country's got is over 50%. And I would venture to say that an additional 30% of marriages are not very happy and thriving. Okay. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, honestly, I know very few people that have a good marriage, a happy marriage where mm-hmm. they both, okay. I'm just being honest. Right. And I am very confident in saying that if you pulled every one of those women, somewhere in the top three would be, I don't feel listened to. I don't feel heard. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm just speaking for a woman here, even though I'm not one, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine that I'm not heard at home with my husband when he's home. He's always preoccupied. He's not really engaged. He's not really listening to me. And now the last thing I want to deal with is another fucking male salesperson who's not going to listen to me either. So fuck you guys. So that's the one thought I have. The second thought is if I come home from work and my queen says, hey, I talked to three painters or fence guys or this or that, and I really liked this company, 99 out of 100 guys are going to go, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, and my third thought, and then I'll shut up and Dan, you can do whatever, is I believe one of the leading factors to a lot of the success I've had throughout my career in sales and the thousands of jobs I sold through the years, and they were mostly to women, were because I had the ability to go to them where they're at. I think I, for the, knowing what I know now, like, I don't think I was very good, but I'm trying to give myself some slack a little bit because I'm just wiser now. I still think I did a good job of them feeling heard to a degree. But I think the other thing that I paid a lot of attention to, Lindsay, as a salesperson, was the guys wanted to know what fucking size roller nap we were using. They wanted to know how we're going to fix the nail pops. The women, it was the things that surrounded the paint job. It wasn't the fucking paint job. It was, I can't wait to have my colors and show my friends. I don't want a big ass mess when you leave, you know, communicate with me and all those other things that are just low hanging fruit for differentiation in any industry. Those were all the things running through my mind when Lindsay was talking, Dan.
Yeah, the same thing. You know, I know with your painting business, you focus a lot on relocating families. And my dad's real estate business did that for the auto industry. And he focused entirely on the woman because the guy's all busy. He's down at GM headquarters or whatever he's doing. And, you know, the wife has got to deal with the kids and figuring out schools and all this other bullshit that men don't even have on their radar most of the time. And so he's keyed on what makes her life easy. And he was very successful at it. And just to your story, Lindsay, and Tom's first point, we put all new doors on our house this year, and Kate kind of had an idea what she wanted, and I was like, you know, I don't, even though I'm at the lumberyard a lot, I don't want to deal with this. Why don't you go down and tell them what you want? And so I went down, I vanguarded it. I'm like, listen, my wife's coming down, she knows what she wants, please listen to what she wants. And salesman comes out, doesn't fucking listen to anything she says, specs the wrong glass, all this crap, and it just it just infuriated her. And so I get drawn back into it, but it's like, it's so easy. And like, this is a great 100-some-year-old lumberyard, fantastic in town, but they have all these high-end women walking in there and they just, they don't know what they're doing. And it's painful to watch when I'm in there because like, they don't know what 2x4 is, like which one they want. It's like, walk them out to the yard, make them feel welcome and spend this cash. But so it's a constant thing. That's why I was like, we just wanted to get the perspective out there of where are we all screwing up? Cause I know I've done it. I get lambasted all the time for shit I say to my wife. But
I remember being in sales situations and I had a lot of success when there were both the man and the woman there, mm-hmm. because I gave more attention to the woman.
Yeah.
You know, cause a lot of times guys, we come in, we stereotype, we're talking about a home improvement project. So I'm going to be dealing with the man, you know what I mean? And we yeah. look at the man and we talk to the man and we don't ask the woman what she's feeling and what she's thinking. And so because I guarantee you, she probably has more pull on this decision than anybody, yep. you know? So Lindsay, we've been running our mouths for 5 minutes. What are we missing or what are we getting right? What are you hearing?
No, I think you're exactly right. I think you made a good point. Yeah. So we want to be heard. So if, like you mentioned, so a lot of the divorced couples, probably a lot of them are divorced because there was a communication problem. There was a breakdown there. Mm-hmm. If you can dial in and learn how to communicate and have those conversations, especially with those female customers of yours, you're going to be a lot better off because either she's going to be the one, her husband doesn't care. Hey, just take care of it. Hire who you want. So she's going to go with you. Or on the flip side, like you said, he's going to piss me off. Cause after I told my husband about that situation, he's like, well, we're not going with him. You know, he 100% supports me. Like, hey, we'll find somebody else. I don't care what it costs, but if you're not happy, that's not who we're going to have out here, you know? Yep. So has that support. So either way, you're in a good marriage, good relationship, or you're not, you're screwed either way. If you're not listening to the female, to the homeowner, what they want.
Yep.
So, all right, let's talk money quick. Mm-hmm. I'm probably about to make an assumption, which sucks because I have the four agreements on the wall behind me that says don't make assumptions. So anyway, but I'm going to break the rule here. Is it fairly accurate? And I'm opening up this to both of you guys. This is, now let me word it this way. It's been my experience. How's that?
There you go.
That women are typically more frugal than men when it comes to the money.
Why don't you go first, Lindsay?
That's probably true in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so.
Dan, what do you think?
I think I agree with that. Like the context with me is my clientele are highly educated women that typically left a career to become homemakers and raise kids. And so they have, I have a dual-edged personality to deal with. They're one, used to have a type A intelligent person. And so they want the respect they're used to having from their former professional world as well. And then I find that they're often trying to impress their husband. Like they are the household managers and they have the everything budget. Like the budget on the husband's radar is like a ski trip or sailboat, you know, something or other. And so I think women are, I don't know if it's frugal or if it's just good much steward. More budget conscious. Steward,
mindful. Right? Yeah. I think more just mindful maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to, I'm setting the stage for my real question now. If that's the case in most cases, okay. Mm-hmm. Most situations, then wouldn't it just make sense that you really better connect with that person because mm-hmm. if they're a little tighter with the money, and I don't mean tight in a bad way. I mean like mindful, like you guys said, right? Because guys, there's things here in my house. I have no clue what it takes to run this place. Mm-hmm. I don't. I don't. I'm terrible. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, we're going to hire the Christmas light guy again to hang the lights. I'm like, okay. And she's like, well, he said it's going to be blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care what it costs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if you want to hire him, we're going to hire him. And so I think, at least for me, I'm a little more flippant about it. Right. Like I just, mm-hmm. so to me, that just makes the point of why it's so important that if you're selling to women, play the odds and make sure you're connecting and making her feel heard, because she's controlling probably most of the money in most cases, especially Absolutely. If it's something that's not like a $250,000 addition on a house, right? When it's, Dan, if it's a $10,000 paint job, if it's a fucking fence, you guys, or whatever it is, you know, and I just think there's a lot, they have a lot more control and influence.
And yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, like Tom, I know y'all were talking about, getting landscaping done there, right? So if, like, let's say you and the queen are having the conversation with the landscape guy out front, kind of talking to maybe some grading where you want some maybe rocks or something. And she's saying, hey, I also like flowers. Be nice to have some, you know, some pretty flowers, some different colors around here other than just greenery and rocks. Like, yeah, it sounds good. And you kind of move on. And y'all keep talking about more of, you know, the logistics of things. Well, you as the contractor, if you can circle back around to that, awesome. Hey, where do we want to put those colored plants at? You know, where should we put some of those flowers at? If you can remember what she said, circle back around to that to be sure to include it. You're going to like him a lot more. She's like, hey, he heard what she wanted. Mm-hmm. He understands that. I'm going to go with him.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, there's also, I find women are like, they're my advocate. They're my mm-hmm. silent salesperson. And so you key in to truly what they want and they'll sell that to their husband. They've got the power over the husband's checkbook or whatever, a lot more than I do, because it's like the whole happy wife, happy life thing. And it's so I love you key on that. And then you get a price objection from the husband about something like, oh, hey, Lindsay, what do you think about getting rid of that flower bed that you were so passionate about, you know, just to save $5,000. And then the husband just looks like an asshole because he got good poison darts get shot across the table at him. He's like, I guess that's okay. You know, maybe we'll get rid of the fire pit or something. And so it's advantageous to engage for a lot of reasons, but you know, there's like the women I find, they are the decision makers and they're my true client.
So you brought up us doing our landscape here. We're going to be dropping some pretty good money here with Matt Heiner, and he's been in our academy and our programs and stuff like that. Matt's a great guy. And if you guys don't know Matt Heiner, go to Instagram and look at the Yardist. Might be the underscore Yardist or whatever it is, but the Yardist. Matt, and he also did a two-part video interview with me on Contractor Fight TV on YouTube, so where he tells his story, and it's a great story, but he's crushing it over there. He's an amazing designer. And we've had two meetings. The first meeting, he came out in person because he knew me, and I cut him a check for a design fee of a few thousand bucks or whatever it was. So he didn't come out for free. He played by the rules that he's established in his business now, right? And I knew that was part of the game. He bracketed me and did all that stuff, but he bracketed us, Lee and I. We sat out back, had a couple glasses of wine or beer, you know, and we're just talking about the yard. And the whole time it was like his attention was on her, mm-hmm. you know, like he really wanted her to be heard. And then he took that and, you know, a few weeks later, and he set great expectations. He's like, guys, I'm so jammed up. It's going to be 4 to 5 weeks before I even touch this. We're like, cool. But we were on the schedule. Like we're playing by his rules. Right. And this is like November. And then when I was home over the Christmas break from filming, we set up a Zoom call with Matt and guys, Lindsay, it was great because the whole time he was like, Lee, what do you think of this? And you know, Tom, is there anything that you want? Blah, blah. And he designed something for me. That had, cause I had mentioned in that initial meeting that I've always wanted to have an outdoor shower. So he put an outdoor shower in the yard and we're looking at the design and she looks at Matt and she goes, yeah, that's not happening. Okay. And it wasn't bitchy or anything like that, but she's like, no, we don't need an outdoor shower then. And she's like, honey, when we move to Scottsdale in a couple of years, you can have your outdoor shower in Scottsdale. We're not doing it here. You know, because in order to do it here, we'd have to rip that tree out. And I love that tree. I don't want to rip that tree out, blah, blah, blah. But I was blown away, and kudos to Matt, because he knows how to really sell to a woman. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because the truth is here, guys, 90% of your time selling residential services, you are dealing with a female. And if you don't dial that shit in and make them, like Dan, you were saying, your advocate,
Yep.
And we didn't talk to anybody else. There was no, and I never was anyway, because I already knew I wanted to hire Matt, because, which is another podcast topic, because it was fucking branding and his positioning and the stories he tells with his work. I'm like, why would I entertain anybody else? It was so good. So anyway,
I think another point, well, A, on the pricing. So yeah, if you're both there, one thing that pisses me off is when a contractor presents the price only to my husband, if I'm present, you know. We were buying a car, oddly enough, a couple of years ago, and we had communication through all of us the whole time. It's a minivan, so you know, I definitely need to be involved with that. We had, you know, little baby there with us, and he goes to talk to the about price, and he totally shifted his body and like leaned into my husband to talk to my husband about price, which that makes me feel like shit. Like I'm not important. Like I'm down. You know, I'm just here to pick out the colors and the features that I want. But no, we have, you know, we both have as much of a say so.
He probably didn't want to confuse you with numbers or something.
Right. Yeah. Those are so hard.
And he was basically saying, you know, get your ass back in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do the laundry and get the kids to school and home.
Right. Yeah. Men will talk now.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just to the end about communication too, though. It's a lot of women, I think, are intimidated dealing with contractors because they can be just kind of boneheaded, macho idiots. And it's something I'm kind of boneheaded, somewhat macho idiot myself, but I'm also big. So like I answer your door and it's like I block the sun out when I'm standing there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I have to make like a conscious effort just to be soft and approachable to mm-hmm. them. And our current job, we're dealing.
Open the door. Like, they open the door and you're on your knees? Is that how you soften the blow a little bit?
Or? I step down back off of the landing, to be honest. Yeah. So like they're looking down at me.
There he has a little light he holds up over himself.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little picture. But but my current job, you know, we get a call from the GC and there's just some QC issues. And just like the woman wants the trim to be glass. And even though we weren't done, she was a little bit rough, you know, upset about something. And I'm talking to the husband. I was like, why isn't Betsy up here talking to me? He's like, oh, well, she doesn't want to bother you or this. And I was like, I go, how does it make you feel to have to play telephone of her complaints to me? And I go, can I just talk to her? And so we can just address it. And so we got her. And this is, it's not my customer, it's through a GC. So I wasn't handling, but I just had to get in there myself and just be like, hey, you can tell me anything. Here's my phone number. If you have a question, what do you want? We walked her around. And then she felt completely heard. But before, she was afraid to step out of the shadows just because there's 40 guys in her house doing all this work. And she was just intimidated by it. And so you just, as soon as you get, and the husband afterwards, like, thank you. Cause now I don't have to play telephone and drive home from work to deal with this crap. And, you know, a lot of people just don't get how powerful, open, like transparent communication can be with people.
Yeah. Dan, as you're talking about that, I was thinking of a couple different situations from my past, and I have heard women, they've said to me before, this could have been relatives or, you know, friends of mine or whatever, that sometimes as a woman, I feel so weird having this conversation because I'm not a woman. So I don't mean to like imply that I'm right with what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? This is some of my observations. I'm totally willing to be wrong one more time in my life. I mean, I've been wrong that one time, but, yeah. but Lindsay, sometimes I've heard from women before or in the past on occasion that sometimes they don't open their mouth in a man's world, quote unquote, because they, whenever they do and they share what's really on their mind, they're just perceived as being a bitch when they're straightforward. Like when a woman, like seriously, I think it's unfair. Like a man can be direct and speak his mind in the workplace or whatever it is in a situation, but the minute a woman is direct, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, and I
see in politics all the time.
Yeah, it's where Dan, like you're, I mean, you both have said this, like, man, they got to feel heard when they voice their opinion. We can't make them feel like shit about it. Like, you know, create a safe relationship where like, hey, this shouldn't even be a male female conversation. It should just be a human being conversation. But I would totally acknowledge in the trades, it's one of those male dominant industries where Dan, you're used to rolling up on a job site and there's your GC guy. And you're like, hey, what the fuck's taking the framing so long? You know, I'd like to get, you were supposed to be hanging drywall next week and that ain't going to happen. Now my schedule's fucked. I mean, that's what, that's how guys are out there, you know, and that doesn't work in most cases when you're selling to the female.
Yeah. When she's got a bunch of kids under five, you know, standing around her and everything else. And so it's, yeah, it's all those little details. Like, you know, I hear a kid, we have a scheduled call and I hear a kid crying or something in the background. I'm like, do you need to take a minute and deal with that? Do you want to reschedule? Just, my kid turned oldest, just turned 18 today, but it's like, I remember those days and how harried it can be for women. And it's just like, just give them a freaking break because you can't schedule child carnage. And so, but a lot of times, you know, I can tell they're just getting distracted, but they feel overwhelmed. Now it's one more task they're trying to deal with. And so I always just, I'm the first one to change my schedule when I see some need like that, because it's just a reality. And a lot of guys, I think, just steamroll over these signs and like, I'm in their yard, I'm just going to tell her why that gutter needs to be replaced and be done with it.
The one thing to keep in mind, I love that if you hear something, you know, like, hey, it sounds like, you know, it should be rescheduled, but tonality, you know, because you can say that, but then I could hear that from you, be like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah. You know, they didn't have a good night last night, but then somebody else would say, hey, like, do we need to reschedule? You got a lot going on, you know, definitely right. How you say it. Cause then if I'm like, oh wait, I feel like I'm a bother to you. I feel uncomfortable. Right. I feel like I've pissed you off. And then if I've pissed you off, the last thing I want is to then have you in my home, because most likely my home, like a female's home, very like stereotyping here, but like, that's my home. That's where my kids are. That's my safety. Like my husband, he could care less. Like if somebody comes in here and he feels threatened, he's like, fuck you, I'll take care of you. But for me, I like cower down. Like, no, this is like, I am highly uncomfortable. I don't want anybody coming into my home making me feel uncomfortable. We had some guys recently, two electricians came. Well, I think it was electrician, like he was training the other one. And like looking, I have like this huge ass picture of my two oldest kids on my wall. And he was like kind of asking me about my kids, but in a real creepy way, didn't really feel that comfortable. So started feeling a little off. And then they started having like jokes that had a little bit of like a sexual innuendo to them. I was just like, get the fuck out, like finish what you're doing and leave my house. Like I felt highly, like so uncomfortable. Like my husband got home, had to tell him all about it. So he had to make a phone call, you know, to kind of help straighten things out. But for me, but I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking they know where I live. They know we have kids now. They kind of have an idea of our schedule. And I don't think guys think that way, because my husband's just like, nothing's going to happen. And granted, nothing's probably going to happen, but that's where my mind goes with that.
Yeah.
Lindsay, you used the word creeped you out, or the phrase creeped you out. I used to hear that. I'd be like, hey, why did you hire us? Or what did you like working with our company versus other companies you've used? And women would say, well, we hired you because you didn't creep us out. You didn't creep me out. Like that was literally something they would write in reviews and stuff. So here's a question. What percentage of women do you feel have a little bit of creep out factor going on when there's a contractor in the home?
Oh, well, I'm probably the wrong one to ask because I'm highly paranoid. So in my mind, I'm thinking like 80%, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's too far off, though. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
It's things that, but there is a reality. I never worry about my personal safety really with anything, but right. You know, so I, at all. And so, but like we had some work done up at our camp in Maine, the propane guys. And it's like, I'm not going to send Kate up there to the middle of the woods in rural Maine to meet a bunch of dudes to install propane, you know? And it's, and they're super nice guys, but it's just like, there is that personal space. I think a lot of guys, they just have blinders. Like I'm just going to put new service in the basement, but they don't get like, the basement door is right next to the nursery or something else. And they just, men are dumb to a lot of this shit. Like it just doesn't get through the testosterone filter at all. And to that end is why Kate's coming in the business. Cause as good as I am working with women and with most of my customers, it's like, I know that my wife is going to be way, way better at it and just take another layer of discomfort or just add a layer of ease, I think is a better way to describe it.
I think women, like, I know from our experience with our company, women are more comfortable talking to women on the phone and then on the job site also. Because if I'm out there helping, we get stopped a lot more by women, especially by older women, asking, you know, services, can you give me a quote, things like that too. So I think there's almost a camaraderie, like, okay, female to female, okay, we're good. A little bit less of that edge or that uncomfortableness as well.
Yep. I'd like us to change gears in a minute and flip it. But before we do that, I'll start to give you guys a chance to think of maybe a question or a statement or a phrase that you feel would help people connect with a woman in the sales process different than others. Okay. And so the one that I used to use all the time, like, Lindsay, if I were selling to you, I'd be like, hey, Lindsay, is there anything that is really important for me and my team to know about the flow of life around here? Because we want this to be as disruptive as, or at least disruptive as possible for you and your family. And then shut your mouth. And then I would just take notes. Like, that's how I learned, you know, like, woman had twins and they slept at this hour. And, you know, and so we scheduled the work outside to not have the ladders on that side of the house in the afternoon or whatever. Like, or there's the guy I'm thinking of where the father-in-law lived with them and he had emphysema and they were really afraid about the dust because we had to do a lot of sanding and skim coating and shit like that. And so that was kind of my, or a variation of that. That was kind of my go-to question. I'm curious what, if you guys have one.
I ask very similar questions. You know, I don't address like gender specific, like, hey, you know, how do you see it compared to your husband or something like that? It's more like, for example, we're just doing that repaint of that new house. The people are moved from Europe. The container of furniture is coming. Three little kids running around getting homeschooled. And, you know, it's not a huge house. It's like 1,800 square feet. And I was just like, well, how do you, you know, we're all good to go. I'm like, how do you want this job to flow? Like, where do you want us to start? What's the easiest way with you know, your homeschooling and all this crap. And she was just, you could just see the relief wash over because she was trying, in her mind, she was like, how am I going to juggle these class, dealing with these kids, classrooms, all this. And we showed up on, whatever the hell was it, MLK Day, which is a holiday here. And so the kids were out of school so they could be away for that day. And we did their little classroom room that day. And so just listen, it's all this part of active listening, but I always turn it on the women when it comes to kids and the day-to-day life. Like, I don't schedule my first appointments. You know, some guys are like, I'll see you at 7 a.m. tomorrow for an appointment, you know, because that's when I do my appointments. But I'm like, yeah, it's like, do I do, like, what time are you back dropping the kids off from school? It's like 8:30 good or 8:45 better if you want to get a cup of coffee. And there's so much relief because they don't have to upend their world to just to meet me. And I think just keying into those issues that tend to fall on the women, if you don't address it as a woman issue, is, I don't know. You tell me, Lindsay, does that, I mean, those approaches, would that be something that would be beneficial to you?
Yeah, definitely. Having respect of kind of our timeline and schedule, because even if it's not, even if we don't have the young kids, because not all the women have the young kids at the home, but it's no, but I have grocery pickup at this time, or, you know, I have my certain errands, or I go volunteer here, or, you know, whatever it could be. So even if you're thinking, okay, well, I typically work with older women. Well, they may be a grandparent and they may have a set schedule with their grandkids that you don't know about, but you didn't care because you didn't hear young kids in the background, or you made an assumption about their age. So definitely. And being respectful, I know for me, like, I don't want anybody at my house after dark, you know, you need to be respectful of that. So if I had the opportunity to be like, you know, asked if what time do we need to wrap up here? Well, yeah, I'm getting dinner ready. I do have young kids. So I have young kids. I'm getting home and I'm not comfortable with somebody at my home in the dark and wrapping up and leaving then.
Yeah. So I'll go as far as like, a lot of people have pools around here and, you know, in the summertime, whatever, the kids are out there, and if they've got daughters or whatever, I'll just be like, you know, when are you usually using the pool, using the part of the backyard? When are you using the pool? And I'll just make sure the crew's on a completely different side of the house, you know, shit like that. Just because it's, but most contractors just like, I'm on my schedule. I got my man hours. And it's not that hard. There's four sides to the house. We have to paint all of them. We just don't have to be on that side, you know, when she doesn't want us there. It's not rocket science, but it's just those little attentive needs.
Yeah.
All right. So Now let's flip it. Lindsay, you know, the company that you and your husband have, you know, I know from time to time you're in that sales process. I know that from time to time in the Contractor Sales Academy, you're working the sales process and some things like that. So I'm curious, what are your, when you're in the sales role as a female in this male dominated world, what do you wish they knew?
That I know probably just as much, if not more, than the other person on the other end of the line. You know, they think because they make an assumption, because I'm a female, either I'm probably like a hired out service that doesn't know anything specific about what the industry does. Maybe I answer the phones for a lot of different companies, or that, you know, the man is going to know, is going to be able to answer their questions that they have, or the technician, they need to speak to somebody who has more knowledge on that.
Because women can't understand how nails fasten boards to posts. It's complicated.
It's a very difficult concept. if only it would just absorb in.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, you were sharing about Joe owns a fence company and his sister is a kick-ass salesperson. What was the thing that you brought up about that that kind of prompted this as well?
Well, she was doing a lot of, she's doing a lot of the sales now. And when they came across, I'm going to paraphrase it, but some technical aspect, like they have some unique way of setting posts than other fence companies. And basically the guy did, as soon as it went away from like style of fence and maybe color of the stain and logistics, you know, stuff like administrative stuff, they're like, well, who can I talk to about the technical details of this? And she's like, you can talk to me. And it just, he's kept going over her head. And he's like, it's a fence post. My family's been doing this for three generations. Like, I'm pretty sure I can tell you how this works, you know, but it's, you see it everywhere. You see it, you go to a car dealership and you listen to the service advisors talking, you know, and my dealership has a woman and it's like, and I hear the tone of the interaction be different. And I was telling Tom the other day on a different podcast, like when I get my truck service, I always sit in the sales department just to gloat and mock how shitty they are mostly, but you can see the women salespeople, they're actually so much better because they're actually keyed in on the emotional aspects of it. You know, so the male sales. Yeah. And it's comical to see a good female salesperson trying to sell a know-it-all guy who's read the whole brochure front to back. And she's just kind of picking apart what he needs and everything else. And it's a completely different approach, but it just gets so glossed over. My wife is like orders of magnitude smarter than I'll ever be. So it's just like, I don't know how, it's interesting how the whole dynamic came around.
You know, it's fun though, because sometimes like I've had one customer that he was just really digging a douchebag and did not like what I was telling him. So I knew my husband would tell him the exact same thing. And that's what I sent him to. And I told my husband beforehand. So when my husband called him, he said, oh man, you should have gone with her because I'm going to be, you know, he raised the price. I think he raised like another $1,500. He's like, if you want to now, if you're interested, you know, you're going to pay to go with us. Cause it's just so like, that's not a customer that we want to work for, you know?
Yeah.
I think I just wanted to flip it here before we got off this call today, because from time to time, I see guys post in our groups and stuff like, hey, what do you guys think about hiring a female and things like that? Right. And I'm like, I think, and again, I'm making a generalization here, but I think in most cases, women are typically better communicators. They're more intuitive, right? In most cases, I think in most cases, they are, this goes for even like if they're going to be working in the home too, like if they're on your crew. Mm-hmm. Like I think there was a company years ago that was, their unique selling proposition was they were a painting company, only did interiors, and they were all women. And so they understood the home more and the details, and they cleaned up better, and they like just better than a man normally would. Right. And it was like, did well for them. But I'm just saying, like, I think there's a lot of guys, like Dan, you said, they come in, they just give a shit about the man hours and they do the work and they don't pay attention to what's going on. They don't have situational awareness. I think like women might in those situations as a technician or a person on your crew. So yeah.
And the reality is, like, that ignorance bites them in the ass more often than not, because if there is a sleeping baby or just some other thing they don't pay attention to, it's going to affect their man hours, because they're not going to be slowed down. And if they would have addressed it, acknowledged it, and the homeowner's into it, you could charge for that. Like, you can take into account on the front end, but yeah, if you don't set expectations, then you're just setting yourself up for trouble, as we know.
Yep.
Yeah. And females are typically more patient, I feel, you know, they're going to be more patient on the phone, you know, working through a sales call. And as a technician, probably a little bit more patient on site too, because they understand juggling everything. They understand kind of how the household runs and things don't always go to plan. They're also going to understand how, like, I think Tommy said, how it all comes together. So if the female wants the walls painted and the husband's just like, yeah, whatever, I don't really know, she wants to change the wall color again, well, it's probably because that wife has the plan to get new furniture that she hasn't told him yet. And this color of wall is going to go perfect with that new furniture that she wants, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that way at all. Now, I want to be very clear. I know we all made some generalizations and some stereotypes and played the averages a bit. So anything we said here doesn't mean that the opposite isn't true in cases, right? Doesn't mean that, you know, a guy can't communicate good. It doesn't mean a guy doesn't have a good intuition or whatever. Doesn't mean that all women are more patient, right? I mean, like I said a couple times, like, it sucks that we're having a male-female thing here, but it just is what it is, right? It's the conditions we have. So bottom line is, guys, if you want to sell more and provide a better experience, you better connect with the females, okay, 100%. And then don't miss out on the opportunity to hire females. I mean, I just hired a relationship manager this week for the contractor fight who's a female. Okay. Because we interviewed guys and girls, but she was the best person for the job, hands down, regardless of the gender. Okay. Yep. And I'm actually more fired up that it happens to be a female, because I believe she will meet the needs better just because of the natural wiring, you know, and hopefully that didn't sound like really bad, but that's not what it was meant. Like, I'm more at ease, you know? Before we go, Lindsay, what did we miss? Is there anything we missed? Is there something we should have asked you? Is there something Dan could have done better?
No, Dan did great.
No, I'm fucking with you, Dan.
No, I think you should hit on the nail at the end. You know, we're wired differently. We're wired differently for a reason. So if you're used to talking to the male homeowner and you're selling to guys more often and you have that, great. But just remember, when you talk to the female, you have to talk to her differently in most scenarios. You have to be a little bit more patient. You have to be a little bit more, maybe recap a little bit more often, make sure that she feels heard, because we do not process things the same way. And it's a good thing that we don't, because otherwise the world would be full of douchebags.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up. Sometimes we make assumptions, back to that again, that somebody may or may not understand something, right? And so again, I think a good salesperson might be like, I would do this, Dan, I know you do this. You when you sell your paint jobs, whether it's to a man or a woman, Dan will say something to the extent, you could fill in your own words here, but something to the extent of, you know, hey, Lindsay, you know, I could go on and on about all the technical aspects of this job and stuff. I don't want to make any assumptions that that's important to you or not important to you. Where are we at with that? Or however Dan says it, right? And because now you're not, because a lot of times guys will be really condescending, right? They'll make assumptions like, she has no idea what this stuff means. And so they'll start slowing it down. And then, you know,
you put that ladder against the wall really carefully.
But I think it's just, this is about communicating. I mean, Dan, what's that one go-to you use? Like, if somebody's been on your website and you're like, hey, I think it's safe to say that you believe we can paint or something.
Yeah. To start the conversation, it's like, can we, just to get things rolling, can we assume that you're confident that we're proficient as a painting company? And they say, yeah. Cause I don't want to talk about paint. And I even during my calls and site visits, people are like, are we ever going to talk about details? And I was just like, well, is that important to you? You know, I'm just trying to figure out how to do this job to your satisfaction, meet your expectations. They don't give a shit, like what roller, you know, cover I'm using or any of that shit. And so, and I kind of, when I'm dealing with women, I was like, let me know if you want some technical details. You know, it's in the paperwork that it's all laid out, but I'm just really trying to make sure that this is a smooth job for you. And 9 times out of 10, they don't ask. They don't care. And if you do that to a man, he's like, he wants to listen to all these details that he doesn't know anything about. And it's like speaking Latin to him, but it just kind of makes him feel like he's your bro.
You know why we do that?
You can't pull it over.
You know why we do that as men? You know, the carpenter comes over to build us a shed, you know, or whatever. And we stand out in the backyard and guys stand shoulder to shoulder, you know, cause we don't face each other. Yeah. And the guy's like, so what kind of saw are you using on this? We do this because we're insecure. Cause we want to posture. We want to act like we know what the fuck we're talking about. It's a total insecurity thing. When you start getting nitpicked in most cases from a guy.
Yeah, it's a junkyard dog thing. Put your hackles up, stare at each other, bare your teeth, and just like nothing ever fucking happens.
Yeah, listen, I've done it. I've been with salespeople before in any industry, and they'll be like, you know, blah, 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 blah. Are you familiar with that term? And I've never heard it before. And I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what that means. Yeah. You know, like it's because I don't want to be an idiot.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which is a terrible thing, but. Well,
yeah, it's selling to women. I think it's easy if you have if you're just attuned to the person you're having a conversation with, you know, and you just listen. It's sales. When you talk at people, you can have some success, but if you're having a conversation with people, you're almost always guaranteed success. And women need the conversation.
Yep.
All right. I have one more question that I should have asked. And if we get off and I don't ask it, I'll be mad. Do the majority of women, Lindsay, really have to check with their husband?
Ooh.
So I'm going to say from my personal marriage, I just do it more out of a respect thing, you know? And he doesn't care. I could say, oh, hey, by the way, I hired that guy to do the gate and it costs as much. All right, cool. It's good. I'm glad you're happy. I do it mostly just as a matter of respect. I don't like if he doesn't really get a say so of yes or no. If I want it, we're getting it.
That's it's not permission. It's just,
oh, hey, by the way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's important to know because a lot of times as a salesperson, we fuck up because we think that they're truly using that as a stalling technique.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't like my price or whatever.
And or they're not the decision maker, even worse.
Yeah.
That's the worst assumption.
Decision maker, exactly. So again, we're not going to go into it now, but I just want to put that out there. This is why it's so important to be trained in sales. This is why it's so important to role play. This is why it's so important to get your thinking right and, you know, learn to communicate with people so that you're not sabotaging yourself. Because Lindsay, it's funny. You're like, and it's the same thing here. Like, the queen, she could make a decision that for anything around here. And I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Same as your husband. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I know her, she just wants to make sure we're on the same page. She just wants to make sure that out of respect,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I totally trust her, but she's trying to respect me. And so it's like this, and Dan, you nailed it. It's you both nailed it in the sense of if she wants it, she's pretty much getting it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, because why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where you can really screw it up because everything could be going great. You tell the price. All right, cool. Thank you. You know, let me just talk to my husband. I'll get back with you. But if you start pushing me then, and if you don't respect, if you don't as a contractor respect what I said then, and you keep pushing me and make me feel uncomfortable, then I'm going to be on alert. I'm like, you know what? I thought so, but I don't know anymore. I think I'm going to call around some more. So you have to be real careful on that too. And that's what you say, that training comes into place, doing role plays, practicing that and practicing it with a female, not a male, because you do so much that practicing with a male, you're going to learn how to go up against a male personality and a male client.
You know, there was an old technique I learned 20 years ago or some shit like that. And there was this guy in the industry who, if he was in the house given a paint bid to the female, and she'd go, I need to talk to my husband about it, or whatever it was. And he would go, well, let's call him right now. Let's get him on the phone and talk about it. And that never sat right with me. No. Because there's so much is being communicated there. Like, number one, you're not competent enough to have the conversation with your husband and communicate the important things, you know, and plethora.
You don't know what nap size roll to tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kate bought a Jeep for herself this year, and we're looking at, I just drove over to look at on a whim, and she's like, I'm gonna go for a test drive. So I'm like, all right, you go in there. She's like, you gonna come in? I'm like, nope. I sat in my truck. Went, she got her license. I didn't even drive it. She went for a test drive, came back. Sales guy walked out to my truck while she's gone. She's like, do you want to come in and start talking about any of this stuff? I'm like, no. I go, I'm not. Deal with Kate. Like, I deal with her every day. Good luck. And it was, but the first thing was to come to me. It was unbelievable. I was like across a parking lot, sitting in my truck in the AC on a 100-degree day. And this guy sweat his ass off walking over to, you know, try and get the gears rolling. I'm like, no, this is, yeah, I dealt with the service department on some after stuff, but yeah, it's just mind blowing to me. I'm like, you have somebody here that if he knew all of her, like it was all, her motive was all pleasure based. It was like, it's a yeah. Rubicon, a two door, freaking the perfect color, all this crap. I'm like, she is such a layup sale for you right now, but yeah. You're going to burn it right here by like trying to just not address her. It was unreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay, I appreciate you hanging with us today and getting your perspective on this. This is a big deal. I think so many more people will be successful if they can get this right. You know, and truth is we've lived in a world that, you know, certain industries have been very male dominated. And I think that's slowly turning. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing more and more women come into the trades and kick an ass. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this, the couples that I've coached through the years, one-on-one, the women are incredibly strong in the success of the business. And I'm not saying the men are weak. I'm just saying the women are typically more consistent with things. Mm-hmm. They're more consistent with implementation and things like, so I think for anyone to play the fucking, you know, male female card here, you know, swing it one way or the other, you gotta be an idiot. Cause like, yeah. You know, the respect has been earned, man. And shit, you guys are, I mean, Lindsay, you're kicking ass in the CSA as the CXO, kicking ass in your business. You're raising your kids, right? Like I can't imagine what your day looks like from sun up to sundown. And, we don't have little kids here anymore, but I know what her day looks like, and it's nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And it's like, there was a report years ago. I keep going and I got to shut up. There was a report years ago that they calculated what a stay-at-home mom would make if she were paid by a company. And it was like 140, 150 grand a year based on the duties and the things she did and the time she put in and all this other stuff.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. And I get reminded of it constantly, but it's a, like Kate's week is like, she's here playing the birthday party. She's doing all this crap. Running the house, bills, all the shit. And it's like, I'm doing podcasts with Tom and like running around seeing the crew, doing the shit, playing with my dogs. And it's like, the world would stop. And I think and I know that that's the world I'm selling to. I walk into these households. Like I understand the chaos and the burden and the just so many angles that they're trying to juggle. And I just tailor my whole sales thing to that. It's like, how do I make, just like I do a production manager or a facilities manager. It's like, how do I make your life easy? How do I make you look like a hero? And just, mm-hmm. Let's just get this done. So it's a non-event. And it's such a more pleasant process and such a more effective process to do it that way.
Yep. It doesn't always have to be a pain thing easier. Not even how do I make your life easier, but how do I make this more rewarding when you're home? Because I'm home all day and I'm looking at, you know, crap walls or something, you know, like, hey, I'm home. I'm with the kid. Like all I want is I want to look up and I want to see something pretty. I want, you know, this is what's important to me. I want my room done. I want new floors in here because I have to mop these damn things. And I'm tired of seeing the dirty grout lines. You know, I've spent countless hours doing this. So I just want something pretty now because I'm here all the time, you know? So it doesn't always have to be, you know, oh, I need this fixed for, you know, I need my gate fixed so my kids don't run out the gate or my dog doesn't run out. It could just be like, I want something pretty.
Yeah. I missed that tip when Kate repainted the office because I was tone deaf on it needing to be repainted. So
with that, Lindsay, thanks for being here.
All right. I know.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lindsay.
And if somebody wants to learn more about your company, where are you guys located and how do they reach you?
Yeah, we're in Fort Worth, Texas, and our website, or follow us on socials, stainandsealoffortworth.com.
And super appreciate all you do for us on our end here as well. And you have an awesome weekend. Dan, you rock, brother. And everybody listening, please go give us a review on iTunes. Or, you know, where the hell you listen to this. The more ears that we can get the show into, the more contractors we can help and add value to. And if you haven't been to our website, go to thecontractorfight.com, get on our daily email tips that we have for you there, help you move the needle in your business a little more. You guys rock. We're going to roll. Talk to you next time.